that you're here. Amen. As we remain standing, we'll open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, you know what he said? The God of this world, not the Lord Jesus Christ. But the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And then 2 Corinthians 3 and 14. But their minds were blinded, and before until this day there remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is to be done away in Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you have shown us through the Apostle Paul's teaching that the God of this world is not you, but it is actually Satan. And the people are worshiping Satan, thinking they're worshiping you. Oh, Father, how through the ages, oh God, there's just been a minority here, minority there, that have always hung to your word and your word alone. But Lord, most churches we see, not only this age, but all through the ages, their churches just forms, form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It's just music. It's just things that people can do to feel good. But Lord, your word is corrective and it just changes us. And so, Father, we just commit, Lord, our understanding of your word and what you've given to us in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, I'd like to continue in our study of Satan's Eden. This will be number 40 in our series from Brother Brown's message called The Same. And I'd like to continue examining where we left off last week, and that's at paragraph 19, where Brother Brown said, the deceitfulness of the church today. See, the son of perdition, the devil, then people worshiping Satan in this day, thinking they're worshiping God. And we just read what the Apostle Paul said. But they're worshiping through a creed or a man-made denomination and creeds that brought the people right down to the greatest deception that the world has ever noted. No matter how much the Word of God promised for this day is preached and vindicated, they still won't believe it. They won't believe it. Then why? Well, we wonder why. Why doesn't it? Why won't they believe it when God said that He would do a certain thing, and He does it, and still they turn back from it and they turn away from it? Just as Eve knew what God said and what God would do. Remember, He said, the day you eat thereof, the day you die. She knew He said it. She knew why He said it. And she did it anyway. But she turned her back to listen to what He had to say. Now just remember, in other ages, it's always been the same thing. In every age, it's always been that Satan tries to pervert the word to the people by making them see some other age. In other words, they can look back at the day of Pentecost, or they can look back at the Lutheran age, or they can look back at the Wesleyan, or even in 1906 Azusa, but they never recognize the day for the day, or the word for the day which you're living in now. All right? God said, I am that I am. Not I was, not that I will be, I am that I am. He is the I am. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But in every age, he says, it's always been the same. Satan tried to pervert that word to them. See, it's the same word, only it's got a twist. Got a twist. In other words, always looking back, always looking forward, and failing to recognize what God is doing right now. Now look when Jesus come. You see, Satan was in that bunch of Jewish teachers and rabbis and priests trying to tell them to keep the law of Moses when the very word said that in that day the Son of Man would be revealed, see? That He would reveal Himself. You know, here's the God who created the heavens and the earth, unveiled in His Son. And He comes to them, and Moses had been preaching of Him. All the prophets had said, He's coming, He's coming, He's coming. So when He finally comes, What do they do? Oh, we got Moses. We don't want the word made flesh. We want the traditions. We want the creeds. We want the dogmas. As long as they kept their religion, or as long as they kept them religious and on the law of Moses, see what he did. He was trying to tell, that part of the word is just exactly right, but this man isn't that person. See how deceiving it is. That's the real day of deception. In Satan's Eden 21, Brother Bram says, it's been and now is Satan establishing his kingdom in the earth. That's exactly why he's doing it, for he wants to establish his kingdom as a businessman that's not a Christian. He will work every scheme that he can to make you see something the wrong way. You take any Bible truth to the pastor of 99.999%, you know, just about every church. I mean, there's a handful here and there, you know, but you take a Bible truth to them, to the pastor, and say, what about this Bible truth? And he'll think, what did the council say? What did my education say? What did this say? Instead of saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You see? So he says, just like a crooked businessman, he will work every scheme that he can to make you see something the wrong way. If he's got a purpose and a personal gain in making you do that, making you see it that way, he will show you everything he can and keep you off from the truth because he's got a feeling only for himself. No matter how much he lies and cheats and whatever more, he's got personal gain, and that's why Satan's done this, and he's worked through the ministry to do this as God promised that he would do it. Now, he began by a religious deceit in Eden and has continued ever since. Not by setting up a bunch of communists. Communists has nothing to do with it. It's the church. That's where you have to watch. See? It's not the communists that will deceive the very elected. It's the church that will deceive the very elected. See, it isn't communists. We know they deny God and they're Antichrist. Sure, they are a principle, but they're not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is religious. Very religious and can quote the scripture and make it look so plain as Satan did back there in the beginning. He quoted everything right down. God has said, thou shalt not eat every tree of the garden. Honestly, this may sound unpatriotic to some, but I would rather trust Putin than I would the Pope. Alright? Putin is destroying the pedophilia in Ukraine. They're actually doing things, you know, that are, you know, we as a nation are very soft. What he's doing over there, he's taking all those bio lab scientists and they're hanging them. And they're cutting their heads off. They're cutting their heads off. All right? They're doing that to the pedophiles. They're cutting their heads off. Don't put them in prison where they can come out because some liberal judge lets them out in 2 years so they can go rape somebody else. Cut their head off and they can't rape again. Cut their head off and they can't make their potions to kill people. Now, that's the way God did it in the Old Testament. Go in there and destroy them all. Don't let one of them live because they're going to breed, and they're going to bring back, you know, Satan's whatever you call it. So, all right. So he says the communists aren't the Antichrist. They might be Antichrist, you know, in that they don't believe in God. They don't believe in Christ. Although Putin claims to be a Christian. But in fact, Ukrainians claim to be Christian as well. But they've got a Nazi party that runs about a third of it. They've got the people in charge anyway are not Christian people. All right. I don't know of any nation where the Christians are actually controlling those nations because, let's face it, Satan controls them all. You know, so the Antichrist is very religious and quotes scriptures. You know, when Pope Paul came out on the scene, he was, you know, so talking, he's such a wonderful person. And he was always giving scripture. And, oh, the little lady just loved Pope Francis because he didn't talk like hogwash and words like that. You know, he talked things that were very soft, and that's the way Satan is. Eve was not raped. Eve was seduced. That's what the Bible says. She was seduced you know, seduction is a very nice and gentle and flattering. All right? So, but God has said, thou shalt not eat every tree of the garden. See? Pull around, she said, yes, we may eat of all the trees of the garden, but there's a tree in the midst of the garden that God has said not to eat for it, or for even to touch it, because the day we do, that day we die. It's interesting, because that word touch, when God says, don't eat, don't even touch, and the word touch is a Hebrew word. Look it up in your Strong's Concordance. It means to lay with a woman, especially for the first time. That's what it means. I don't know why they use the word touch when they could have just said what it was. But anyway, I think all the subject matter, with the exception of understanding the major Bible doctrines of this hour, Godhead and Parousia, twins and Alpha Omega, that I've spoken on, I've spoken more on these three minor subjects. What I'm saying is, you know, I've gone around the world a lot teaching, okay, and I've taught the Godhead presence, I've taught twins, Alpha and Omega, those things. And taught a lot, okay? You know, 59 countries, and I don't know how many times I've been to many of them. But the thing that I preach in this pulpit probably mostly is, number one, the people's condition of this hour is they're naked. You know, the Laodicean people, not just physical improper dress, but their minds are completely naked in the sense that they are void of all truth and stripped clean of the of Holy Ghost thinking. You know, man has lost their sense of God. They've lost their sense of having to give an account one day. You know, like the one sister came up to Brother Vail years ago. She goes, well, you know, I'm not responsible because I don't understand. He said, well, sister, you got it backwards. You are responsible, therefore you had better understand. See, people want to come to church and just, you know, it's kind of a put in maybe an hour or two with God and we can worship and go home just living our way. When you should be coming to church to learn everything you can how to overcome in this life. Now, number two, showing the blind condition of the same people. Imagine that, being naked and blind so you don't even know you're naked. Religious, yet eyes that can see but cannot perceive what they see. And ears that can listen to the tapes but no clue what they just heard. So the blindness is of the heart, which is of the understanding. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in them. And I hit these things probably more than any other thing. And the third thing I hit a lot on is showing the mental condition of these people, where Brother Brown said that they don't even know their condition, that they are naked and blind, and it shows that they are either mentally deficient or they are devil-possessed. So let's just read again from this paragraph where Brother Branham says to us from Christ revealed in his own word. He says, in the Laodicean age, the people were what? They were naked. Are they? Blind. What good does light do to a blind man? If the blind leads the blind, don't they all fall in the ditch? Naked, blind, and don't even know it. Even their mental faculties are gone. Their spiritual faculties or mental spiritual understanding. It's zip. Now notice this mental condition he just mentions. And yet the Apostle Paul told us that their minds would be so twisted because there will be more information available in this hour than any other age, as we read in 2 Timothy 3 and 4. And remember, the Old Testament also says ever learning, or it says that they will, knowledge shall increase. All right, this is the hour for that. We've got more knowledge. We've got more access to the Bible, more access to all the things of God than at any other time in all the ages. And Paul says, but they'll be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means they can't control themselves, despisers of those that are good, and having a form of godliness. You know what godliness means? Look at how it's spelled. Godliness is actually godlikeness. That's what godliness is. But denying the power thereof. Now, Brother Brown quoted from the scripture, and then he focused on what that denying of the power really is. Having a form of godlikeness, but denying the power thereof. Then Brother Brown says the power of revelation, they don't even believe in it. Now, we spoke several times a month ago on this blind condition of the people, and we've shown you that the eye salve that God wants us to apply is a special anointing oil. is to anoint the eyes of our heart, which means that we must apply the anointing oil to the eyes of our understanding, and that anointing oil is the Holy Ghost itself. In examining the scripture, we find that the anointing oil was given for the purpose of sanctifying the one who is anointed by it. We also find that this anointing oil has a certain power to it, the power to know all things. And so we see faith, which is revelation, something that's been revealed, is a special anointing that comes from God alone. And it has power that allows us to be justified. It has power to bring us into sanctification and a new birth. In fact, we find in the scripture that without this anointing oil, this faith, which is revelation, which makes us holy, we find according to the scripture that without it, we could never see God. For without faith, which is revelation, no man can please God. And without the cleansing of the heart by the washing of water by the word, in other words, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Therefore, we must be able to understand the importance of the ISAB, which is revelation or faith, that God has given to us that we might recognize Him and His presence in this hour. We know also that this ISAB has power to give sight, to justify, to sanctify, and to give life. Therefore, this power of revelation, this power of faith, is a very important thing for us to understand. And therefore, and I would like to continue this morning with the examining these thoughts on the power of revelation, because we know that faith has a certain power, and faith is revelation. There's a certain power that comes with revelation. Now, if we believe that Alpha has become Omega, then we should be able to see what has happened in this hour is a repeat of what happened in Paul's day. Then let's turn in our Bibles to Acts 26 to see what, from Paul's own testimony to King Agrippa, how his life was changed by the power of revelation. In Acts 26, 1-19, we read, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered him, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things where am I accused of the Jews. Especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, known of all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of their religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise God made unto the fathers." In other words, as a Pharisee, I believe in resurrection, and yet I'm being persecuted because I believe what the Pharisees claim to believe. Under which promise, our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought of an incredible thing with God that you could raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. Which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in the prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted even unto strange cities. Whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. And at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were fallen to the ground, all of them fall, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Now notice the last words that Paul quoted Jesus. Now Jesus said that they would be turned from the power of Satan to the power of God. And that this power, this faith, this revelation that was in Jesus would bring them to the place of justification, sanctification, and inheritance. Notice how God told him, he said his very purpose for teaching the people, he said, is receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance. You see that? All right. Furthermore, this faith has power, as we see its effect that is upon us at the end time. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7, Paul says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Notice you have people troubled, and they're offered rest. When the Lord Jesus, when is this rest supposed to come? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And we see the cloud and the seven angels that came to us and opened the seven sealed mystery of this Bible, further revealing what day that we're living in. Is this not on? Is this Notice this revealing of Christ, this revelation, totally changes the way that we perceive things. It takes us from being troubled on every hand to being at rest. That's what the promise is. To you who are troubled, rest with us. The whole world today is in a convulsive mode. You just look around, you notice the people who are the furthest away from God in their thinking, especially the blue state governors and mayors, are the most fearful of everything because they're godless. Show me one blue state governor, one blue state mayor that puts God before everything else. None of them do. And these people are the most fearful. These people then use what authority they have to completely lock down and totally control everything around them. That's a mental disorder, brother, sister. You may recall in October 2019 through December of 2019, we spoke on the conditions of the end time insanity, which will come in the form of an end time neurosis, which begins with anxiety. Worrying about what might happen. And that worry, because you focus on it, anxiety basically, you're worrying about what might happen, but then you begin to focus on it. Now the anxiety, now the stomach acid, now all the stuff begins to build. Because you're focusing on it, it leads you into a compulsive behavior to prevent or try to prevent what you think might happen. Now it hasn't happened yet, but it might happen, you see. Well, the natural flow of things would have it that your compulsive behavior leads to an obsessive behavior where you are totally absorbed in your own crusade to overcome what you think will take place but actually has not taken place as yet. But by seeing the handwriting on the wall, you become obsessed with it. Then your obsession leads to fear, which is phobia. And fear or phobia leads to depression. And because you are depressed, your depression leads to distancing yourself from others, which is disassociation. These are all attributes of neurosis. Begins with anxiety, compulsive behavior, obsession, fear, which is phobia, then depression, disassociation, etc. So notice, your depression leads to distancing yourself from others. When a person is depressed, they don't want to eat. When a person is depressed, they don't want to get together with others who are eating. Which is dissociation. And dissociation leads to total conversion, which means you have now become a total neurotic, which is insanity. A form of insanity. Now let's skip ahead to verse 2. I mean 10 to 12 of 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So Paul tells us here that there will come a time in the last days that the revealing of the Son of Man, that Christ, in that day, will be glorified in his saints. And his testimony, which are his epistles, will be believed in that day. All right? Now, we know this being glorified is a Greek word endoxazo, which means the doxa of God will be in our Zoe. In doxa Zoe, in means in, doxa, and then Zoe. The doxa of God will be in our Zoe, in our life, magnified in his church, manifested in his people. All right. Of course, we know that doxa is God's opinion, his values, his judgment. Thus, he's speaking of the very mind of God and the people at the revelation of Christ, So look at the power then of this revelation. It's the power of an endless life. It is a power to change you. It's a power to translate you. In verse 11 he says, "Wherefore we also pray that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power." The work of faith with power. That the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified where? In you. And you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice we're told that this work of faith is with power. Now this power of faith not only gives us a living hope, but it also keeps us and preserves us. And without this protective power of faith, we could never receive our inheritance, which is eternal, because our inheritance would outlast us. And that's the problem with man. Men outlive their inheritance by being foolish, not understanding how it was created in the first place, and then kept for them. So most men who've worked hard to lay up for their children by the third generation, much of what was created in terms of wealth is wasted and lost forever because the same principle that created it were not kept alive in the family. You know, the Torah, they call it the law in the Old Testament, the Torah, the word Torah. It means the instructions of the father. If you've got a father who raises his child up, Joseph taught Jesus to be a carpenter. You know, you know the old times a person's name was like a wheelwright. You know, he was actually a wheeler, was actually a wheelwright. His family generation, they made wheels, you know, things like that. And so, you know, the boy would usually, the firstborn at least, would usually inherit the father's business. He would actually learn the trade and everything else. Then his son would do that. But they've lost all that in today's generation. You know, they sent him off to college to learn something else. But with God, He promised us an inheritance that is incorruptible and fadeth not away. Now man himself fadeth away, and all that he is in his earthly possessions fades away. The moth eateth and the rust corrupteth, and man to whom the inheritance is given perishes himself. But we are promised an inheritance that will never fade away, and therefore we too must be kept by the same power from fading away, that we might receive an inheritance that will last eternally, and we along with it. So we are looking at this power of faith, this power of revelation that Brother Branham said the people today do not believe in. Now, as I said, this faith, which is a revelation, has a power which we have seen in operation throughout the years, but which we understand very little about it. Now, you might ask, what kind of power does faith have? You know that through faith we receive spiritual sight, right? Therefore, through faith we are justified. Through faith we are sanctified. Through faith we're given new birth. Therefore, faith has given its the power of life itself. And not just life, but eternal life. But beyond that, we know that through the exercise of faith, we have seen many people healed from whatever ailment they've had. I've seen tumors removed from a man's chest. I've seen cancers depart from a brother in the church years back, and even my own sister. I've witnessed the power of faith and witnessed how that it took a man who was paralyzed was able to walk again. I've seen a little girl with leukemia. She's sitting in the back. She's not a little girl anymore. And God made her well. He made her whole. And gave her an opportunity to live a life, a complete life, that she might live it for Christ. I've seen a baby's hip that was born out of joint come back together. I've seen the power of faith heal my own back when it was broken in two places. Suddenly made whole. We are witnesses to the power of faith in our everyday lives, and we personally witness many times the power of faith, not only for healing of our bodies, but in the power to control nature, weather, storms, heat waves, turning of tornadoes, drought, and so many. Many testimonies of what God will do if we have faith to believe Him and His Word. And beyond that, we have also witnessed the effectual, fervent prayer of a rightly wise man, what he can do. Even as we read about Elijah praying for rain and it rained, we have seen the power of faith for our very own selves, and we have seen the power of faith turn the weather conditions, give hot water through pipes which had no heat, no source of heat. We've seen nature turn itself upside down and the laws of physics made of no effect by this thing called the power of faith. And now in the faith chapter of Hebrews 11, we see that the very worlds which we live in were created by God's faith in His own word. So no one can tell me that faith does not have power. Faith itself is a releasing of the power of God, the great creator, Hebrews 11 and 3. Now, I'd like to stop for just a moment this morning and just look at the power of faith. And to do so, let's examine the faith chapter in the scripture, which is chapter 11 of Hebrews. And we'll close by reading each verse to see how power was displayed in each of the examples that are shown and how faith produced something by this power. Notice verse 1, Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith, which is revelation, and the power of revelation, is a substance of things hoped for. Now, substance is not air, it's not a thought. Substance is material, all right? For faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things you don't even see. So here we see that faith is not a philosophy, but is actually a substance. And faith, revelation itself, is actually, it's an evidence. Hebrews verse 2. For by it, the power of revelation, the elders obtained a good report. By it, the power of revelation, the elders obtained something. And that something led to something, to others some things. For that something was a good report, and a good report led others to also believe because of that good report. And so you see, the power of life is in the power of faith, that power of revelation. Hebrews 3, 11 and 3. Through faith, through revelation, and the power of revelation, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Notice that God Himself even created the worlds using His power of faith. So if God used it, what about us? By faith, by revelation, and the power of revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. The power of faith makes us rightly wise and gives us an understanding which goes beyond mere mortal reasoning. In 1 John 2 and 20, we read, but you have an unction, which is an anointing from the Holy One. And as a result of that anointing, you know all things. Now let's just read verse 2:27. But the anointing which you have received abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is the truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. You know, man is always trying to copy God, because man is anointed by Satan. You know, the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you suddenly understand things that you didn't understand before. And I know that you probably were aware of this back in, even in the 50s and 60s, that they were doing experiments where, if you know, they put a thing on your head and you'd listen all night long to things. And when you woke up, you were learning while you're sleeping. Well, now through mRNA and some of the things that they're doing with it, they can take a man who was never a pilot and inject him with the mRNA, which has in it memories into it, and now the man can go out. This is a testimony of another pilot who was there. He said, and this is the army was trying to create these super soldiers, and he said within a half hour, this man was now an expert pilot. Helicopter pilot, which is harder than a regular pilot. So, man is trying to do what the Holy Ghost promised to do. But that's Satan's always perversion of the truth. The Apostle Paul speaks of this anointing which comes by God revealing His Word to us. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 10, he says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knoweth. So in verse 12, Paul tells us that in order to know, God then will give us His Spirit. And when we have His Spirit, we will understand the things of God. It comes easy to you. It's just natural to you. Now, he says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, in order that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You see, God gives us His Spirit in order for us to know the things of God. All right? But the natural man, he says, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Doesn't even want to know. He's not interested. He doesn't even get to step one to find out what's really there. He rejects it right away. He says, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual or spirit-filled judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. But who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. He that is spirit-filled also judges all things by God's word. Now back to Hebrews 11 and 5. But by faith, Enoch was translated. Now just think about that, because faith is revelation. By revelation, Enoch was translated. He was caught up to be with God. That he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, if revelation produced a translation or catching away for Enoch, think about this. Then what will produce ours at the last trump? If revelation brought forth a translation and rapture for Enoch, then it must do the same for us. It's the power of revelation. But without faith, without revelation, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He, God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see, people have a wrong understanding of faith. They say, well, what faith are you? Well, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal, whatever. That's not what he's talking about. That's not what faith is. Faith is revelation. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. But it's not me, Paul, that's living. It's Christ that's living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the power of revelation. I'm living by the revelation of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God. Paul learned that Jesus was the firstborn son in a vast family of brothers. And so Paul said, I'm a brother. And I'm going to die to Paul that Christ might live in me. Faith never says, I know God can do it, but will He do it for me? That's not faith. People say, oh, I have faith, I know that God can do it. But the question is, will He do it for you? That's not revelation. Without revelation, we cannot even please God. So in a positive sense, it tells us that faith not only pleases God, but the power of faith also allows us to believe and not the other way around. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things which were not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is of by faith. The power of revelation has power to warn us of things coming in the future. It warned us well in advance of the germ warfare was coming. Been preaching on that since 97. And not to go along with a narrative of getting poisoned, you know. Revelation in God's word is what warned us, hallelujah, and it has sustaining power. You're all here, you're all healthy, because you didn't fall to the fear that's being piped. That is called applying the token, applying the revelation to our daily life. Some people believe that the tapes themselves is the token. Brother Bram never preached that. What good is a tape to someone without the Holy Ghost? If you have no revelation of what is on those tapes, then what good can they even do you? One person actually said, I don't care what's on those tapes. I believe them anyhow. Now, how can you believe something you don't even know what's on it? Right? How anyone can claim to believe the message and say, I do not care what is on those tapes? It's not the tape itself, brother, sister. The tape is just a man-made creation. It's a magnetic material, and they use, I forget what they used on the tape in those old days, but it was magnetic. But on those tapes is the instruction from the Lord who descended with a shout to say that you could care less what's on it shows you're not even interested in the voice, only the tape itself, the material the materials that it's made of. And you must not have any revelation then of what God had his prophet instruct us with. That's what that statement says to me. Now remember, we read in our text, Satan's Eden, where Brother Branham said, it's been now and is that Satan establishing his kingdom in the earth. That's exactly why he's doing it. For he wants to establish his own kingdom as a businessman that's not a Christian. He'll work every scheme that he can to make you see something that's wrong. Because if he's got a purpose and a personal gain in making you doing that, making you see it that way, he will show you everything he can and keep you off from the truth, because he's got a feeling only for himself. So to say that I don't care what's on the tapes, but you need the tapes, you need the tapes, you need the tapes, what's the personal gain? What's the personal motive for that? No matter how much he lies and cheats, Brother Brown says, and whatever more, he's got a personal gain. And that's why Satan does this. And he's worked through the ministry to do it as God promised that he would do it. By faith, by revelation in the power of God, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. You see, the power of faith calls us, the power of faith directs us to our inheritance. When the Bible says sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, what's he talking about? He's talking about revelation. Without revelation, you couldn't be led. You wouldn't know which way to go, right hand or left hand. By faith, by revelation, and the power of revelation, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. The power of faith keeps and preserves you, and it keeps alive the hope that is given to you. He actually, if you've seen any map of Abraham's journey, it actually outlines the entire promised land. He knew he was looking for it. He knew, you know, God, I mean, in his heart, he was looking for it, and he looked over every piece of land that was there, not even knowing at the time. But by revelation, he walked in. For he looked for a city which hath no foundation, which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. By the power of faith and revelation, we are able to see the works of God and the thing which he has done for us. And he knew what to look for. Through faith, through revelation and the power of revelation also, Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. It gives us strength. It gives us stability. It gives us new life and new birth, even when our flesh does not look like it wants to cooperate or is weak to cooperate. Yet the faith drives you, drives you, drives you. Therefore, it says, sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. And so we see that through faith, the power of faith in revelation, it brings forth a multiplication of the blessings which we receive through it. It says, these all died in faith, verse 13. In revelation, by the power of revelation, not having yet received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. They kept walking toward it, walking toward it, walking toward it. What do you think we're going to do when we're caught out of here? Or we just keep walking, walking, walking until we're there. By revelation and the power of revelation, it keeps us going and persuades and brings forth a confession, which is an ability to see the same thing. And you could never say the same thing unless you had an understanding of the thing you were talking about. Just an example, you watch kids and how they talk, and sometimes they think they're saying something that's, they're thinking they're saying the right word, and they're saying something that's very funny, but it's just, you know, and you all probably experienced that with your own children. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. In other words, revelation, the power of revelation, keeps you focused. And truly, if they had been mindful of a country from whence they had come out of, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If they had taken their eyes from faith, which is the revelation, the power of revelation, the power would have left. It's just that easy. It all is your focus, brother, sister, your focus. What do you, like the Indian chief. Brother Bram asked him, he said, how are you doing, chief, since he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. He said, how are you doing, chief? He said, oh, not so good. He said, what's the matter, chief? He said, well, two dogs war within me, white dog and black dog. He said, well, who's winning, chief? He said, well, the one I feed the most. You see? But now they desire a country that is heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And revelation and power of revelation then brings them to the place of not being ashamed and God wanting to identify and lay claim to them. By faith, which is revelation, the power of revelation, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. So it carries you through the trials and the testings. 18, of whom it is said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be blessed. So revelation and the power of revelation brings a purpose and focus to our tests. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Therefore revelation, the power of revelation, doesn't even look at the test, but at the promise showing the strength of the power of revelation. By faith, which is revelation, the power of revelation, Isaac blessed God, and Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. In other words, revelation, the power of revelation, allows us to see things to come and accepts already the blessings of those things not yet to come. Every Christian is looking for the rapture, living for the rapture, and accepting it, that it will come and will be ready when it does come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. In other words, revelation and the power of revelation allows us to bless and to worship God. By faith, revelation, the power of revelation, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. He said, you're going to go back, and when you do, take mine with you. Revelation and the power of revelation directs us for the future. Why did he want his bones sent back to the promised land? Because that's where the resurrection was to take place. By faith, by revelation, and the power of revelation, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. In other words, by revelation, they could see what God's word had said would take place. Notice again how they just knew and foresaw things to come by revelation and the power of revelation. And revelation and the power of revelation therefore gives us direction, gives us insight. Therefore, we are blind without it and miserable. By faith, by revelation, the power of revelation, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Revelation and the power of revelation brings forth a true identity and helps us to manifest in our true identity. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. We shall also manifest with him in glory. That word appear is actually the phaneroo, which means to manifest in your true identity. When Christ manifested in his true identity, it helps us as sons to manifest in earth. Now, from choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, again, we see how revelation and the power of revelation gives us power to look past the test. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect under the recompense of reward. I was thinking about this, you know, because revelation, the power of revelation brings us respect for God's plan. You know, when Jesus had an opportunity, he didn't have to go to the cross. Brother Bradford said he didn't. That was his test. But he said, you know, he said, for this, he told his disciples before, while they were marching to the garden, he said, for this very purpose have I come into the world. He knew his purpose. He did not like for 1 minute to know what he's going to go through. And yet he went through for you, for me. Not only that we would be saved and given eternal life, but that way we would have inheritance because we become joint heirs with Christ. If you understood the spirit of adoption, you'd understand that the eldest son always received 50% of the father's possessions. And then when the father died, the rest of the 50% was divided up amongst the other sons. The problem is we have a God who cannot die. He's the immortal king. So Jesus then had to go to the cross so that we could have inheritance. You know, no greater love has a man than he lay down his life for his brother. So, by faith, revelation, he forsook Egypt, and fearing the wrath of the king, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Revelation and the power of revelation brings us to the place of having no fears. Through revelation, through faith, the power of revelation, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So revelation and the power of revelation gives us power to keep the commands of God, and it keeps us safe. By faith, the power of revelation, they passed through the Red Sea and as by dry land, which the Egyptians essay to do, were drowned. Revelation, the power of revelation, conquers the laws of physics and nature and allows us to walk contrary to those laws in keeping God's word. And anyone who would try to mimic your walk, it ends up destroying them. Because it's not, they're not walking by faith, they're walking by the law. That's why so many Christians wash out, because they grow up and they see just people acting a certain way and talking a certain way, but when they go home, they live any old way. And so they say, well, now just a minute, Mom and Dad claim to be Christians, but you know, look at them over here, and they say, I don't want nothing to do with that. But if Mom and Dad had not only embraced the things of God, the ordinances of God, let's call it that, we're also living that life. The children will see that there's something that their parents are really tied to that's beyond just mortal comprehension. By faith, or revelation and its power, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. You know, you think about that, because those walls were so wide, they'd have chariot races on top of them. They were like 20 to 30 feet wide and built. And how blowing a trumpet could cause them to lodge and to fall down. But they did so. They walked around knowing, and they shouted and they clapped their hands, and the walls came down. By faith, or the power of revelation, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So revelation and the power of revelation will keep you from perishing and will bring you peace. In John 3:15 we read that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 32, and what more shall I say? For the time shall fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, I won't even say Barak because I don't like that word, and Barak, and of Samson, and Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Revelation, the power of revelation, gave Gideon the strength and courage to fight a man that no one wanted to help him, or fight a war that no one wanted to help him, fight a fight. Revelation, the power of revelation, gave Barak, he was given strength for deliverance of his people. Revelation, the power of revelation, gave Samson the strength and ability to stand against the enemy, bring down thousands. Revelation, the power of revelation, gave Jephthah the power to preserve, or of preservation and restoration of his right position. After being rejected, he came back as their king. Revelation, the power of revelation, gave David, although a rejected king, yet he loved revelation, the power of revelation, and gave him great power to slay his enemies. Through revelation, the power of revelation, Samuel was able to walk alone and never wavered in his commitment toward God. So I ask the question, do you have enough revelation, personal revelation, that you can walk alone? The Bible goes on, it says, who's through faith by revelation, the power of revelation, for with it they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouth of lions. All this was done through the power of revelation. By revelation, and look at the power revelation does, for with it they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Again, all this was done through what? The power of revelation. Elijah said to the Gehazi, Gehazi said, well, why would you go to the Syrians' camp? And Elijah said, Father, would you just open the boy's eyes? And when he did, he saw there was thousands and thousands of angels encamped about them. He realized there's more of us than there is of them. By revelation, they quenched the violence of fire, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Revelation and the power of revelation raises the dead and endures hardship and keeps you focused. And others had a trial of mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, in bonds and imprisonment. And revelation and the power of revelation keeps you focused through all your trials. They throw you in prison, the power of revelation keeps you. It keeps you focused, and you don't focus on your imprisonment, you just focus on Him. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. Were slain. Are slain with the by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And yet the power of revelation kept them focused through rejection, through hate crimes, through torment. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Revelation and the power of revelation energized them to keep moving forward. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise of God. Revelation, power of revelation, gave them energy to keep moving forward regardless of their present circumstances. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Therefore, revelation and the power of revelation provides us an assurance of our end from the beginning. Then we go into Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. So revelation and the power of revelation is given to us as well. And Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, our revelation, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So revelation and the power of revelation will keep us focused as well. We see in the book of Romans that faith and the power of revelation is the supreme gift of God. In Romans 5 and 2, therefore being justified by faith, by revelation, the power of revelation, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith, which is revelation, and the power of revelation, into this grace wherein we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, the doxa of God, the opinions, values, and judgments of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience and experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And then Romans 4:16, therefore it is of faith, by revelation and the power of revelation, that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is also of faith, or the power of revelation, of Abraham, who is our father. We can't say that we believe, and therefore we have faith, for faith is a revelation. And believing is just being able to read. As Brother Bram said from the token, he said, don't come this far and just say, well, I believe the message. You obey the message. Come into Christ. You say, oh, I believe every word you said, Brother Bram. He said, that's good, but that is just being able to read. Take the message. Take it in your heart that you must have the token, the very life that was in Christ in you. When I see that, I will pass over you. In conclusion, Romans 5, 3-5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So without faith in the power of revelation, we could never be justified. And if never justified, then how could we be sanctified? And if never sanctified, then how could it ever be possible that God would place His Holy Spirit in an unholy vessel? In fact, Brother Bram told us that God will never place His Spirit in an unholy vessel. So we see then that this hope maketh us not ashamed. And the reason we are not ashamed is because we have been justified, which came by faith, which is by revelation. And this revelation opened unto us and gave access to us of the grace of God, which then brings us into peaceful relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge. And this peace with God then brings us into a life which is dedicated and consecrated and is sanctified, which then opens the door for the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit, which is holy. And if you got the Holy Spirit in you, then you're going to conduct yourself holy. Luke 21:27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. How shall we see it? By faith and the power of revelation. We will not only see Him coming with His power of revelation, but we will see that He comes with His great doxa. And not only by faith do we see it, but by faith we receive it. You can look at that picture there where God came down, formed by seven angels, that cloud, 26 miles across. We see it as the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power, doxa, dunamis, healing power, the power of faith, and great glory, and great opinion, value, and judgment. In other words, God came down with what? A shout, a message. And never forget, Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance, not a substance, is the substance, and the Greek word there is hypostasis. But in Hebrews 1 and 3, we are told what that substance, that hypostasis, is. who being the brightness of His, God's glory, God's doxa, and the express image of His person, His, God's hypostasis, and upholding all things by the word of His power, God's power, which is the power of God's revelation. When He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So if faith is the substance, faith is the hypostasis, and Jesus Christ is the express image of God's hypostasis, then our faith is not in things, our faith is in a person. And that's the finished work of God through His Son Jesus. So seeing God created the world by the power of revelation in His own word, and has given us the power of revelation, creative power, and through that creative power of revelation, we have seen what all these believers who were mentioned in Hebrews 11 use that power to create for themselves. God created the worlds. They created an atmosphere. God had created an atmosphere for you to live in this world. And then we create that atmosphere around us that brings other people to life. Hallelujah. This power has in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, for the power of revelation. And knowing, Lord, that we're coming in this day, we see the world is falling apart, and yet we're seeing a peace that surpasses all understanding. In knowing, Father, Your promises, and having the power of revelation to be able to see them create an atmosphere around us of peace and safety, and getting ready for the resurrection of the body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make His face to shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee.